either way, according to the Ramban, number one, we tried to flesh out the Ramban's view, tried to show how his Perush al Torah in a couple of places is also consistent with his comments in Sefer Mitzvos, Mitzvah Lama Gimel, both the comments against the Rambam and the, you know, wistful, suggestion of, you know, maybe counting the Aron as a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo. But what emerges is that the Hashras HaShchina is the purpose of the Binyan HaMikdash, the purpose of the Karbonos fit in, that's a line of the Ramban in Truma, the kind of protection for that, to protect against Siluk HaShchina, and that the Aron plays a special role in all of this, in terms of being a focal point of Hashras HaShchina. But one thing that does emerge very clearly in the Ramban, and that is that the Mikdash is an intrinsic place. It's not a means to an end. It is the, you know, the quintessence of Hashras HaShchina itself. And Agav, the Ramban, has a strong statement that Hechsherim and details certainly should not get independent counting as a mitzvah, and maybe shouldn't even be included in existing mitzvos either. And his assumption that the kelim in the Beis HaMikdash are not part of the Cheftza Shel Mikdash at all, unlike what the Rambam says, but that they belong right to each individual avoda. The menorah belongs to Neros, the Shulchan belongs to Lechem Apanim, the Mizbeach HaKetores belongs to the Ketores, and so on and so forth. The Chinuch perhaps really holds that the Hechsher of the Karbanos is a mitzvah, and reformulates the Rambam very, very subtly, but more in that direction. And certainly the Minchas Chinuch, as we discussed, who is happy about the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, possibly even applies this expansive view of the Binyan HaMikdash to Kli HaMikdash, goes in that direction as well. Certainly the Megillas Esther and in his commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvos has a mounts of defense of the very attack. In other words, he says the Ramban doesn't say this, but assuming that the Ramban is correct that the Rambam is counting Hechsherim, so the Megillas Esther basically says, and it's not the only place that he says this either, what do you mean? We always count Hechsherim, and we should count many more, Yirtzeh Hashem, right? So he has a very strong, he does distinguish between Hechsherim and Chelkei HaMitzvah, but Hechsherim he's thrilled to count. Some of the things he calls Hechsherim, frankly, are things that seem more obvious to me as being maybe intermediate phase, consequences or ends, rather than obvious means or drachim, as we'll explain. Anyways, what I wanted to suggest for the Rambam was that the Rambam is much closer to the Ramban than people think. That both his language in Sefer Mitzvos and in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Parak Aleph, the emphasis on being prepared for the Karbanos, or being a Mokom which is Roy le Karbanos, is not the same as saying it's simply a Hechsher le Karbanos. But he uses similar language with regard to Tumah v'Tahara, and Chayav Adam l'Tahara Sansum b'Regel. The connection to Chagiga isn't just a Karbanos either, it's also about Aliyah l'Regel. It's about the Beis HaMikdash being a Mokom, a Beis HaBechira. And that, in particular, the piece in the Chiddush HaGran Bagrid, where the Rav and his father suggest that the Rambam and Hilchos Beis HaBechira and the Rambam and Hilchos Melachim are two completely different dinim, and they themselves have considerable difficulty justifying a total separation between those two dinim. If you just look at the language and the challenges in doing that, you'll see very clearly. But they're basically arguing that there's Shlomo and there's David, there's the Shichno Sidrashu and there's Shachanti Pesocham. One is connected to Mechitzos, the other is connected to the Makom. All these good chilukim, which make a lot of sense. One is connected to Har Moriah. But in the end of the day, they're arguing there are two dinim, but it's hard to separate them. And what I was adding was that if you look at Sefer Mitzvos, Mitzvah Chaf, the Rambam actually integrates them. Moreover, it's strange that the mitzvah of building a Beis HaBechira would have nothing to do with Hilchos Beis HaBechira, and the din of Mikdash would be Dafka and Hilchos Beis HaBechira. Moreover, the Rambam's famous formulation in Perek Vav, Hilchos Beis HaBechira, about Kedushas Shechina, Eina Betela, to separate that from L'shichno Sidrashu Vasa Shama, which is the pasuk that the Rambam quotes in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, completely, I think, is extremely difficult. Moreover, the connection to the Mishkan, which the Rambam builds up in terms of the Mikdash, I think also points in a certain direction. So role of Hara Moriah is something that the Rambam also speaks about in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel, I think, where he speaks about the Mikdash, you know, which is built Bahar HaMoriah, implying that it isn't just a, you know, map location, but, you know, it's part of the chalos of the Mikdash is that it's built in Har HaMoriah. So I think what the Rambam is really trying to tell us is that while we emphasize different dinim sometimes in different places, and maybe different phases, because the obligation to build a Beis HaBechira, you know, again, was after Mechamas HaMalek and Knesset Laaretz and so on and so forth. But in the end of the day, I think what the Rambam wants with all of this is to establish that there is something which is a hechsher, which is a tachlis. You can call it a hechsher tachliti if you want, but meaning being muchan, you know, having the matir, having achieved or having attained the status of being muchan lahakrav karbanos by putting everything in place properly, and especially symbolically, the pieces are meaningful. That's an attainment in its own right. That's an achievement. And what the Rama means is that both the Hakana and the details of the Hakana are themselves a malacha and a voda, and I think that's why the Mishkan became such an important paradigm, because the Midrashim, as we discussed, the connection to Shabbos and Briyas Olam and the fivefold and the orders and so on, all point in that direction. Yeah.
How do we explain
Ramban in Yivamos? Ramban in Yivamos. You asked me that before. So let me think about that. That's a good question. You want to just elaborate the question for the other people?
Yes, the Rabban says that...
This is in the Asir HaLos HaSeisog, yeah.
The reason why Binyan Beis HaMikdash is not the Book of Shabbos is because Shemira Shabbos Eina El Bechor HaKadosh Baruch Hushkor HaBom HaMashesh HaKadim. Binyan Beis HaMikdash the Kaparas Yisrael LaHanas
HaKadosh. Yeah, that does not fit in so well with obviously what he says about Hashras Hashchina and the Karbanos just being to be guard against Silik Hashchina and so on.
It sounds more like a Ramban about that, like Pater from Kekhatas,
which is just right. Yeah. So I don't know, I'm not 100% sure. I want to think about that more. That's a
unless,
very good question.
You mean that it also has a Hanas Atman component, then it's hard to say that Shabbos doesn't at all.
Say again, what's the suggestion?
That Shabbos is purely the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and Binyan Beis HaMikdash also has a
I mean you want to bring Shabbos closer to Mikdash rather than that's your
saying. It could be
his
distinction that Shabbos is like Kula Hashem and Binyan Beis HaMikdash is Katzi, it also has a benefit in Israel.
And that's the Hanas Kohanim means that also?
Yeah, in addition to being a Malcolm Ashkin, that's also Hanas Kohanim and Kaparas Israel.
It's a separate thing. Because he doesn't deny that the karbanos are makap. I mean, by the way, let's say it this way: the comment in Truma that the purpose of the karbanos is to guarantee that there won't be siluk hashchina through kapara. That actually works well with the chatas comment. You don't need it for it, but that does work well. So he doesn't deny that karbanos have that element. As the purpose.
As opposed to Kavod HaKadosh
Baruch Hu. Yeah. Maybe it isn't Kvodo, but it is Hashras Shchinaso. I don't know, I'm not sure. I hear it. I think it's a good question, I'm just not sure. I mean, it doesn't... if we're talking about, you know, unifying all the Rambans, it's a very good question. What he says in Hakdama to Vayikra, Hakdama to Shmos, Parshas Truma, several other places in all the Torah also, but those are the ones that stand out. And in Sefer Mitzvah Lamed Gimel, definitely are consistent, and his comment about the Aron is very consistent. I think you're raising an interesting question. How does that fit in with the Chidushim and the other places?
The Hashras Hashchina is only after the Aron is put into the Beis HaMikdash. In which case, B'Sha'as Binyan, there wouldn't be.
I mean, because the Gemara in Yevamos is about Binyan.
But then it's strange because there aren't any
karbanos
really.
Right. I don't know. I'm not sure. I want to think about it. But it's a very good question. And again, I think the Ramban is a very consistent thinker, so it's always, even more so than other people, it's always kedai to try to integrate his things. And I think here you have so much that's already, you know, going in that direction. So it is a little bit strange. And these are comments that are not like, oh, so the Ramban's saying the typical thing. Right? So just methodologically, the question is even stronger in a way, because he's saying unusual things that don't fit with his other unusual shitas. So I think it is challenging. I'm not sure. But I want to think about it more. Okay. Anyway, I think the idea is that for the Rambam, the Kalim, the structure of the Kalim, the order of the Kalim, all of it is part of the Heftza of Beis HaMikdash, exactly what he says, but not as a Heksher, you know, in terms of being Roy LeCarbon for sure, but even more than that, the Semel, the symbol of the interactions. Again, I mentioned Mizbeach HaKetores, other things, where things are placed, you know, what things are done in each one. I think there's like a whole world to figure that out. For the Rambam, I would just like to, you know, to, I'm not sure if this is true, but like just to, let's say, crystallize it a little bit. Right, there's some question like, you know, the Akedah was in the Mokom HaMikdash. So there are two perspectives, I think, on that in Chazal. One is that the Akedah was in the Mokom HaMikdash because that's going to be the Mokom HaMikdash. Right? Meaning it's that's the, you know, Mokom Asher Yivchar Hashem, L'shaken Shmo Sham. And, you know, there's this whole, you know, past, future, you know, we find this in Chazal, you know, for what will take place. But the other perspective, of course, if you want to just go sequentially through time, is that, you know, one of the things that created the Kedusha, Smokom HaMikdash, you know, again, the Rebbe Shalom knows the future, so he's HaYehovah V'yiyah, so this isn't really such a nafkamina, but the point is that one of the things that established the Mokom Asher Yivchar and the Mokom HaShechina was the Akedah. In a way, in other words, you could call it a kind of, you know, it's Urta, if you want to get Hasidic, they tell me that everybody's getting Hasidic these days, but it's not a Hasidic concept, it's really a Kabbalistic concept. It's Urta Dilatata and it's Urta Dilela. In other words, the, you know, it's the Mokom of Hashras Hashchina, and therefore that's where the Akedah, of course, had to take place, or, you know, that unbelievable moment in history, right, of self-sacrifice, and not just self-sacrifice of a son, a beloved son, right, but the absurdity, like the Rav always describes, and you know, based on Kierkegaard, but you know, but with a turn away from Kierkegaard, you know, in other words, the doing, the embracing of something which was, you know, against, seemingly against the logic, which means not surrendering to the absurd, which is Kierkegaardian, but surrendering to the inner logic, and even we don't understand it, right? That's the ultimate sacrifice. That created, you know, the Mokom of Hashras HaShechina. I mean, for the Rambam, the fact that Klal Yisrael built it, you know, what is it? If you build it, you know, he will come. They will come once we, with a capital H, you know. So the Rabbanu Shalom in a way responds to Klal Yisrael's, you know, Lishma and all the things that the Midrashim, you know, and Chazal speak about in these parshios, like knowing all the details in advance, you know, before you start on any I think that's like an amazing one. Like the Ramban accentuates that. The Lishma, the, you know, not the master craftsman, but, you know, the Talmud Chacham, you know, being Bona, even the Machloksim, you know, order and so on. So it's, in a way, being Roy is the Koveya, the Hachana, the Hechsher. And I think this works actually very well. That's a shichlo sidrushu vasa shama, meaning the Rambam doesn't deny, because that's what he writes in Hukas Beis HaBechira, and in Sefer Mitzvahs he is integrating the two, right? So it's you know, v'shachanti besocha, but it's a shichlo sidrushu vasa shama, meaning Klal Yisrael has to search for that. They have to work for the Rabbanu Shel Olam, you know, to come. That's part of havas makom too, like the Ramban himself. Right, has this comment about the Shichno Sidrushu Vasa Shama, like you're supposed to stop, you know, people on the street. Like, even if you know where it is, you have your Waze or Google Maps or whatever, you know where it is, but part of the kiyum is to stop people on the street and say, like, where's the Beis HaMikdash? To be Doresh, you know, the Shechina. So to build the Mikdash properly with all its accoutrements and the proper order and symbolism and so on and so forth is the Shichno Sidrushu Vasa Shama. And in a way, again, just like the Ramban was suggesting that Maimed Har Sinai and Hashras HaShechina of the Mikdash are one and the same, one is a recreation of the other, but another perspective on that link, one might say, and of course the Aron, you know, and the Luchos, Torah being critical component of that, they obviously speak about that a lot too, that in the Mikdash, the Aron was the Mekadesh, and in the Mikdash Ma'at, the Sefer Torah of Torah Shebichtav, or the Limud HaTorah, is the Mekadesh. It was a big theme, you know, of his. But in addition to that, the point of, you know, the comparison to Maimon Har Sinai, we've spoken about this pre-Shavuos and had the opportunity. You know, the whole question of Yom, you know, Vav, Yom Zayin, B'Sivan, there are two things. Number one, there's a whole bunch of evidence that basically, you know, Torah was given on Zion, so, you know, why are we celebrating Shavuos, which we are, on Vav, right? Based on the, you know, the count after Sfira. On the other side of it, right, there's the view in the Gemara that really the Torah was supposed to be given, or, you know, the Maimon Har Sinai was taking place on Vav, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know, we need another day of preparation, which is kind of a shocking thing. I mean, this is, you know, Bishvila Torah Shanikare, Yom HaShishi, the whole world's going to go to Tohu Vavohu. You know, everybody's been waiting, just forget about even that, but, you know, the anticipation, the Rabbeinu Shalom is going to make an appearance concretely in the world to make the whole world, you know, justified. You know, the greatest moment in history, and Moshe Rabbeinu said we need another 24 hours, right? And then, of course, Klal Yisrael couldn't take it even then. But the whole Hechsher and Hachanda, all that is like a very critical aspect. And I've tried to develop this in the past, both if it was Zion, why we celebrate Vav, or if it, you know, was supposed to be Vav and it was delayed, but he told them we need one more day of preparation. And the whole preparation issue, and Rav Shapshon Fall Hirsch says this idea as well, is that basically part of what we're celebrating in Maimon Har Sinai is Klal Yisrael's preparation, being Roy for Kabbalah Sator, the Nechonim, right, you know, for Hashras Hashkina. Now, why they, in the end of the day, couldn't tolerate it, that's still a different question. But the point is that if you want to, again, you know, use this Urta Dilatato, this Urta Dilela, it doesn't matter. But the point is Klal Yisrael's hard work, you know, in preparing for this isn't just preparatory. It's when is preparation not preparation, when is preparation an attainment? And it's also, when is preparation a methodology? Or when is certain preparation? Certain makshirim and matirim aren't just technical, right? They reflect a certain orientation, like what is this all about? And that in particular is something which I've spoken about, you know, many times. I really believe it. And the Rambam, and not just in the Rambam, but especially in the Rambam, that in many of the Rambam's, you know, kotaros or formulations in Minyan Mitzvos, etc., you know, where people have this problem, you know, it's a hechsher, the Rambam Shita about Kiddushin, we'll speak about it more next year, right? If you want to get married, do it b'derech Kiddushin. Gittin, if you want to get divorced, not, you know, mitzvah according to the Rambam is not to get married, mitzvah according to the Rambam is not to get divorced. It's to do it b'derech, you know, ksav, and not just, you know, sayonara, it's been fun, or it hasn't been fun. Meaning, that's the b'ksav, l'shma, personal get, a cheftza shel shtar, right? Tshuva, b'derech, vidui, we've spoken about it many times, right? What is that the vidui reflects about what's different about Jewish tshuva than Ninveh tshuva, if you will? The answer is that for the Rambam, hechsherim and matirim are not just hechsherim and matirim. They either are, in some cases, an intermediate or an attainment in their own right, and being mukshar nachon is the hagdara, or in some cases, the preparation or what it is that's matir highlights the unique halachic perspective on that particular issue. And that, I think, is a leitmotiv. I think that's really an approach for many difficult Rambams. So when people say, oh, it's only a hechsher, shchita, right? I don't know if we have any, you know, chulin people left, but the idea that the way that you are nene from basar is you know, according to the first of the avodos of a korban, derech shchita, says something about, you know, the concept of, which is why eating and shchita is in Sefer Kedusha, you know, what kind of concession is it that, you know, that man, you know, can have hedonistic outlets and even meat, notwithstanding the initial design of Bereshis, right, pre-Noach? The answer is, oh, b'derech, the way that you're shochet a korban, right, the shechita of chulin, right, has kodshim characteristics, even as the shechita of a korban has chulin characteristics, right? it was necessary to dilute one in order to elevate, I think, for the Rambam anyway, in order to elevate the other. So the methodology, once again, and I think this goes through, you know, many views of the Rambam and others, and that I think is what's going on here in the context of Binyan HaMikdash as well. Creating a Mokom Sheroi LeKarbanos, including the placement of structures, you know, that symbolize, you know, interactions in different ways, is itself a Heseg, a Tachlis, and a method, which is basically part of the din itself. So that's really what I wanted to say about that aspect. And I said that works very nicely with the Binyan HaMishkan and all these details, and especially also why it neutralizes in a way the Egel HaZahav, which of course is the, you know, is smack in the middle of the Parshios. You have Vayakel Pekudei, and then you have Truma Tetzaveh, then you have Kisisa, then you have Vayakel Pekudei, and you know the Egel in the middle, and the whole discussion about Mukhtar Mukar Mukhar Batorah. But either way, and that of course figures into some of the order changes and Shabbos and so forth. But you know, Shcharan, even Ava, you know, Yavo, you know, Zahav, you know, Hamishkan Vichaper al Zahav Egel, and the whole Moshe Darshan and all these other aspects of it. I think it's partly this issue, because it's about what it means and ends, and the need for means, right? Not to be confused for end with ends. That's what happened in the Egel. But the reason it happened in the Egel is because initially they didn't care about the means. In other words, it started off as a means, which was just basically a means, and then, you know, because they didn't invest it or invest thought in what would be the best methodology, right, to reflect Kedusha ends, right, it ended up, you know, going in a very bad direction, and ironically, the means became an Avodah Zarah. That's what Avodah Zarah is. Avodah Zarah is the confusion of means and ends, basically. So what's necessary and what the antidote for that is, you know, Yavo Zav HaMishkan B'chaper Al Zahav HaEgel, meaning you have to invest Kedusha in the Binyan HaMikdash, but you have to know why you're doing it, and you have to see the whole plan before you start each individual piece, and it has to be Lishma, and so on and so forth. So I think the same idea can be applied to Big Day Kuhun. As I mentioned, in that Rambam, in that discussion, Sefer Mitzvah, Lamed Gimel, the real discussion of the Ramban has is on the Rambam's piece on Big Day Kuhuna. The Rambam counts Big Day Kuhuna as a mitzvah, saseh, and the Ramban once again says that it's just like Kli HaMikdash, it's just a hechsher, just a hechsher bial. Yeah. And his formulation there is very interesting. As I mentioned, you know, the Ramban says, if you really thought Big Day Kuhuna were separate, you'd have to have each separate begadim counted independently, and then also the Kalim there, you know, react very strongly against that. Basically, the Ramban does not want to consider the possibility that Big Day Kuhuna as a methodology, once again, or as a chefza, as an attainment, exists. He only wants to see the B'toras Hekshar V'chelek, and if it's already Hekshar V'chelek, even then it's not the strongest argument, but then it's at least more compelling to say, well, you know, there's a Hekshar V'chelek for Kohen Gadol, there's a Hekshar V'chelek for Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, there's a Hekshar V'chelek for a Kohen Hedyot, and so on and so forth. So, in the process, the Ramban basically admits, acknowledges, well, the Torah does take a long time and has formulations which treat Big Day Kuhuna, you know, as if there's something more than that, but he is dochet, basically. And he says, after all, we don't find wearing Big Day Kuhuna, you know, outside of the Avoda as being a separate kiyum, as if he were kind of, you know, playing with the idea, the Torah Shebichsav is giving this an inordinate amount of space. What does it mean? You know, but he's dochet. At the end of the day, he's not impressed enough. Or, if I could find that Big Day Kuhuna would be a kiyum shelo b'shas avoda, then I might be inclined to look at this whole Big Day Kuhuna thing, right, in a very different way. Is that what he's saying also about the counting of Big Day Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, Big Day Kohen Gadol, Big Day Zahav, big day kohen hedyot, not what I said before, in other words, that it's just a hechsher. But is he saying, oh, if it was really something more, then the individual details of each kahuna would also be separate kiyumim? I'm not sure. I think that that's something to consider as well. Either way, the Megillas Esther, as I mentioned, says they're not chalakim, they're hechsherim, and we count hechsherim. Right? The Leif Sameach, in his parish on the spot there, in the printed Sefer HaMitzvos, says no, he thinks Ramban really missed the boat. And there's an addition to the Hechsher, but the Leif Sameach says it in a very extreme way also. I don't want to go into all the details, but basically says our two dinim, and they have nothing to do with each other at all. There is Big Day Kahuna as a Hechsher for the Avoda, right? But the language of the Gemara and Zvachim and Yuma, like Bizman Shebigdeim Aleim, Kunasam Aleim, Bigman Shein Bigdeim Aleim, and Kunasam Aleim, implies that it's more than that. Moreover, says Leif Sameach, it doesn't say Lechavod, it doesn't say Lesharis Velavod, it says Lechavod Ulesifares. So if the Big Day Kuna were just there as a Hechsher for the Avoda, it should have said Lavod Ulesharis. What's a Lechavod Ulesifares? That sounds like it's something more intrinsic. Moreover, he says, the Gemara seems to reject the idea that you would violate Mi'ila Shelo B'Shas Avoda, right? The Sugya and Kedushin, yeah, it depends how you read it, Kanos, Ksanos, Kahuna Shabalu, or Shelo Balu, the Sugya Nun Dalit or so, like in the second parak of Kedushin. A whole discussion there, what exactly is going on, the Ritzvah, and so on. But basically, the Gemara seems to say there's no Mi'ila. So Leif Sameach says, you see that there's a Kiyum Shelo B'Shas Avoda wearing Big Day Kuhu. What he doesn't get into so much is the other big discussion on the Rishonim, and that is, what about the wearing of shatnez, you know, the shatnez in Big Day Kuhuna, Shalom B'Shas Avoda, of which there's a machlokas between the Rambam, seems to be machlokas in the Rambam and the Ravid. The Ravid says, there's no problem, you could wear even the shatnez Shalom B'Shas Avoda. The Rambam seems to disagree, both in Parakhes, Halacha Yud Aleph, I'll get to the second of Hilchos Kliya Mikdash, and the last halacha in Hilchos Kilayim. But as the Nosa Kalim point out, if you look very carefully in the Rambam seems to be mechalek between Big Day Kohen Gadol, which are mutter, and only Big Day Kohen Hedjed, which are osur. Anyways, there's all sorts of interesting discussions on that point. The Leif Sameach basically says, I think there are two completely different dinim. There's a din in Kiyum Levishas Begadim Al Yidei HaKohen, Lechavod Safares. And that's a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo, nothing to do with hechsher, nothing to do with avoda, nothing to do with it at all. There's another din, b'gzman shem g'deim aleim, kunasam aleim, and these two dinim have nothing to do with each other. But I think, again, what we would prefer to say is that it's hard to believe that there are two completely different dinim and they have nothing to do with each other. More likely, what the Big Day Kahuna represent is this shilul between status and function, which is a huge issue in Kahuna, right? Which dine kahuna are kedushas agavra dinim, and which dine kahuna are functional dinim, minui dinim? There's a big lot of Torah about this. This is a big issue. You might be mechalik between kohen hedjed and kohen gadol, certainly, in terms of the emphasis. Levim, as opposed to kohanim, who don't have kedusha, have functions, but they're not really. You don't have kedushas agavra. Again, you could say in Kohanim that, you know, they have two different dinim. There's a minui and there's perhaps a shel kedushin. I think that's true. And there are certain dinim, you know, that that break up in this way, both in terms of Kohen Gadol and Kohen Hedyot. Right, Kohen Gadol, for example, who steps up on a Yom Kippur and then he goes back. Minui bepeh. There are all sorts of distinctions that you can make. However, it seems to me that even if the distinctions are correct, part of the story of Kohen Gadol and even Kohen Hedyot is the integration of function and of Kedushas HaGavra. And that is captured beautifully by the language of that Gemara, a very strange language, Bizman Shebigdeim Aleim Kunasam Aleim, and the fact that we almost treat a Kohen who's Oved, right, either Begadim that don't fit in either direction or without Begadim as a Zar. That's a very, you know, we say, you know, certain cultures, they say, you know, clothes make the man. We don't believe that clothes make the man. But, you know, clothes that are not labod l'shares, I would say, but lechavod ul'tifares, right, are for them to be defining and also makshirim and matirim in terms of the avoda, is to basically bring together, right, these two ideas, meaning you have to have a certain mamad, both in terms of your demonstratively how other people perceive you, as well as in terms of your own self-contemplation. That's lechavod, the first, the second, letifares, right? And that is a prerequisite for the avoda, because the avoda isn't just a function. The avoda is about, is a function that can only be accomplished by people on a certain gavra level, and whose kedusha is more. The famous discussion of the Mordechai in Gittin about Rabbeinu Peter and Rabbeinu Tam, you know, about really how seriously we take this idea of Bizman She Bigdeyam Aleim Kunasam Aleim. We're not going to go into that right now. But of course, again, there's a lot to be said. But I think that the idea is that, you know, the Begadim and what they stand for in terms of elevating, you know, the function, or elevating the gavra so that he's right for the function, is really part of it, and that's what the Rambam is also counting, and that's why what the things that the Leif Sameach points out, I think, are 100% true. They're just not completely unrelated, as he argues, to the Hechsher. It's a Hechsher based on a certain mamad that you've achieved, and a certain symbol, again, of what's important in Avodas Hashem. A Kohen, the word Kohen, is Sherut. It's Lechahen. It's to function. But there's also something called a Gavra Kohen, and we have Dinei Gavra Kohen, especially Kohen Gadol. Even Shalom Shas Avoda, maybe because there is no Shas Avoda. Kohen Gadol is the ultimate of being Muchan LeAvoda, whether it's the Korban Minchas Chavitim, which reflects this, you know, he's basically, you know, always in the middle of his Korban for the entire Korban day, okay, because he brings two halves of a Korban. I'm not going to demonstrate that right now, but that's what the Korban Minchas Chavitim really is. Maybe we'll have another chance. In terms of being onein, the Radvaz, when he wants to explain the din that the Kohen Gadol Dafka can wear the Shatnes Shalom Shas Avoda, he quotes Min Hamikdash LaYetze, right? The Kohen Gadol, you know, is always on call. He's always has to be Muchan LaAvoda, or he always is being obeyed. The Beis Halevi and the Rav used to say that the Pshat is a little bit different, but I think it comes from a different angle, and they're probably nafkamina, but for our purposes today, they actually dovetail. That is, wearing big day kuhuna, especially for the Kohen Gadol, is itself a kiyum in avoda. How can the begadim or our hechsher of the avoda be a kiyum in the avoda to justify, you know, shatnas, essentially? The answer is, if they're l'chavod l'sefares, not l'avod l'shares, and they're about, you know, big dayem aleim, kunasam aleim, achieving a certain status, begabra, right, because of the function because of the gabra, that's what it is. It's again, tzachsherim and aterim, which work in a particular way. And that's why the Torah, I think, emphasizes so much the length, what the Ramban was doche, the making of the begadim. I think I mentioned last time that the Rambam in Perek Yud starts speaking about begadim in Perek Ches, but in Perek Yud, it takes until Perek Yud, halacha gimel or so, where he formulates the mitzvah, and then he formulates it in terms of asiyas habegadim rather than levishas habegadim. Even in Sefer Mitzvos, he emphasizes levishas habegadim. I think what he's saying is, and what the Rambam is doing here, it's parallel to what he does in the Chasukah, is spending prakim on the cheftza shel beged to tell you that wearing this cheftza, right, is important. It's not just a hechshel avoda, it's a hechshel avoda because of the symbols that they represent and reflect, the chavrul tifares, not just lavod l'shares. I think that tzitz particularly highlights this, because the tzitz is something which may even be functional when you're not shalom b'shas avoda, and it's kadosh l'Hashem, right? And the tzitz requires that there be no hesach hadas. That's the Rambam quotes in Hilchos Tefillin, right? That's where the din of shmira comes from in Tefillin Shel Rosh. The tzitz is mechaper or meratze on tuma. It's a magical thing, but it isn't a magical thing. Meaning, whatever the tzitz is about and the way it functions, it's not a hechsher in avodas hakarban alone. Obviously, wearing the tzitz or the nezer al rosho is something which is a critical thing in its own right. And what's fascinating about it is you would think, okay, so the tzitz is the most intrinsic of the begadim. In a certain sense it is. But the tzitz, according to one day in the Gemara, is a tachshit. So how can something be a tachshit and be more intrinsic? Here I'll borrow a formulation from Itamar. I think said very nicely. There could be other people say it too, but I thought it was very good. That the idea of a tachshit, basically, is something which isn't a beged in its own right. It's a, what a tachshit, what a piece of jewelry or does basically, is it brings out features, right, in a person or in a context that already exist. And in a way, you know, so the tzitz is kind of a dialectical instrument. And again, if you look at the dinim of the tzitz, I think it really reflects this. Because again, on the one hand, it's most independent, it's Kodesh Lashem, it has these qualities, but at the same time, it's not even a beged. The answer is, it's not a beged. It's an end that is a means, or because of the means, because of what it's able to bring out in what's already there in the Gavra, Kohen Gadol, and in the capacity of the Avoda. It's transformative, more transformative, ironically, but actually logically, by virtue of the fact that it's a takshit and not an independent beged with the restrictions that that beged might have. So the point is, and with this we'll get to the end, that bizman she bigdeim aleim k'dushasam aleim and l'chavod l'tifare, all these things that the Leif Sameach was pointing to really explain why it's a better hechsher, but in the Rambam's worldview, where hechsherim are sometimes intermediate tachlisim, or at least drachim, right, in Kedushas Kahuna and in Kedushas Avoda. So the Kesef Mishnah doesn't exactly say it, but in the discussion of the Shatnez issue, so there seems to be stira between different Gemaras, especially the Gemara in Yuma and the Gemara in the beginning of Erechin. The Gemara in the beginning of Erechin seems to say that, Bizmana Avoda there's a heter, and Bizman that there's no Avoda there's no heter. So the Kesef Mishnah in Perek Ches, Hilchos Kli HaMikdash, Halacha Yud Aleph, says, this is a particularly big problem for the Ravid. I mean, according to the Ravid, it seems that whenever you wear the begadim, it's fine. There's no problem of shatnez. So why does the Gemara in Erechin say it depends on the Be'idan HaAvoda? So the Kesef Mishnah says, B'mokom HaAvoda, when you're Muchan LaAvoda, for these purposes, that's also Be'idan HaAvoda. So is that just a dochek teretz, the Gemara didn't mean what it said in Erchin? Or is what he really trying to say is that when it comes to Big Day Kahuna, right, being Roy Lavoda, being Mokom Avoda, being Roy Lavoda, is the Kiyum. That's exactly why there is a Kiyum in Levisha Sabagadim. It's being poised, having Big Day Amaleim and Kunasa Amaleim and so on. Certainly, this could be the case for the Kohen Gadol, if not for the Kohen Hedya. So the point is that, again, it's a kind of, nechonim lahakar of karbanos, which isn't a hechsher, but which is a cheftza shel kedusha, again, knowing what it is and what it isn't. It's not the sofa kedusha in its own right. And these are the things that ultimately explain why there can be hashras hashchina, there can be the shifno sidrashu in the context of the mikdash. Okay, we'll stop here, and next time we'll go back to one of the other topics, or another topic. Okay.